so Santa gave her a rock tumbler. That's
okay.
really what she wanted.
A rock tumbler?
A rock tumbler.
I don't even know what this is.
It's a device.
It's a drink.
The catapult? Is that?
No, it polishes rocks. You put in rock stones or whatever.
Does she have a lot of rocks that need polishing?
So she thinks that she does or should.
Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Yes. Merry Christmas to our listeners.
Merry Christmas.
Yes. We're coming to you the week between Christmas and New Year's. You're probably...
We're on, this is the 28th this comes out, right?
Yes.
So this would be the fourth day of Christmas.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
On the fourth day of Christmas, our true love gave to me four calling birds.
Our true loves gave to me.
Yeah. All of our true loves gave me presents.
Right.
Okay. It was a good day for me.
You know, I think one year we did like the true cost if you got the 12 days of Christmas. Let me tell you, does anybody actually want the 12 days of Christmas?
No, nobody wants that. No. So, I'm getting four calling birds.
Aside from the golden
rings portion is okay.
Yeah. But like, okay, you just show up and Lords of Leaping are showing up to your house. Who cares?
My Lord of Leaping noise. What other noise would the Lord of Leaping make? I don't know.
Yeah, not interested. Who wants those things? Another reason why the 12 Days of Christmas, not cool. Welcome to Beyond Sunday. Since we're coming to you, I think, between Christmas and New Year's, I know it's a stressful time of year for many people, and it's been a stressful year overall. This is going to be a feel-good episode of Beyond Sunday. So hopefully you exit the program saying, wow, I felt really good after listening to this. I know I will. I don't know about you guys, but...
I feel great.
You feel great, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Did everybody have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been busy.
Oh yeah. Sorry. I thought that it was obvious that this was not recorded on Christmas.
We recorded Christmas Day. We all got together. Paused the festivities.
Our Christmas Zoom call. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Christmas was great.
We recorded before Christmas, but I'm assuming I had a great one. So
Future me had a great Christmas.
Future looks
great. Whether or not that'll be true on Christmas will be to be determined.
Yep. Ask me after my COVID test.
Yeah.
Yes, so we have some feel-good news stories, some true news stories, and then we'll also maybe go over some fictional stories. And maybe if you're like, oh, we've got this free time between Christmas and New Year's, I'd really like to watch something or read something that would just make me put me in a good spirit. We'll have those coming to you today on the podcast. So I'm going to start us off with some feel-good news.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's hear it. What do you got for
us? Are you familiar with the pop star Cher?
Yes.
As in Sonny and?
Sonny and, yes. Do you believe in life after love, Cher?
Yes, or I do.
I
think that's actually, if you look for her in the library, she's categorized as Cher, Sonny and. That's how you find her.
Really?
What are you looking her up on the Dewey Decimal System over here?
Yeah,
like,
obviously.
Are you checking out a bunch of Cher books?
Yeah. I got to read up and be prepared for Petra's news story.
I need my Cher microfiche to go through here.
That's right. I'm pretty sure that's where all the articles about Cher are. Anyway.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Here you go. The world's loneliest elephant gets some help from celebrity friend Cher.
Oh my gosh.
Hold on. How do we know this is the world's loneliest elephant?
Self-diagnosed her.
Even if it were, how would the elephant tell us?
All right, let me tell you. I'll go through the story here. Caven. Okay. A 36-year-old 9,000-pound elephant was given the nickname. He was given that nickname after being diagnosed emotionally and physically damaged, living in a bad zoo in Pakistan for 35 years.
Bless his heart.
Oh, good, poor guy.
Yes, poor Caven. So Caven's partner died in 2012. And Caven has been eating a diet of sugar cane, which I'm sure you didn't know this, not part of the elephant's natural diet.
So it's a 9,000 pound situation.
He was overweight and malnourished and just in a bad state, bored in this really bad zoo. But so Cher got involved, saw the story, and advocated for Caven's resettlement with her animal welfare group, Free the Wild. All right, so she met with the Prime Minister of Pakistan and got him transported to a new animal sanctuary in Cambodia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is pretty nice right now. Do you guys like the zoo?
I do like the zoo. Yeah, I do. Not ones that, you know.
Not that kind of, yeah. I mean, not Joe Exotic Zoo, but.
Yeah, I like a real zoo that, you know, yeah. A zoo that takes care of the animals, that they're in appropriate exhibits, that they look well fed and have things to keep them busy. I think that they can be pretty exciting. So when he arrived in Cambodia, he was greeted by Buddhist monks who chanted over him. Yes, cute. And then now he's in a sanctuary there that has 600 Asian elephants. So he is resettled. All right. And he has now lost about 550 pounds now that his diet has been shifted.
All right. He must be on the Subway diet.
I was going to say.
Yes.
Oh, wait, no, because the Segway break has, yeah, that's cake. That's not.
Classified legally is cake.
He's on the Daniel diet. It's fruits and vegetables. So,
yeah.
It's from a previous callback. I think about maybe a year and a half ago, we talked about the Daniel diet.
It's a good one.
The book of Daniel. So the Daniel diet, yes.
Veggies and water.
Also, part of the good news, the zoo that Cayman was part of has been shut down. It was no longer in operation. Yeah.
All right.
So, how do you feel? Does this make you feel good that this animal was rescued?
It does. Yeah, I mean, I love a redemption arc, and I love, you know, life after love for the elephants. And
nice callback to share there. Yeah,
thank you. Yes.
Yeah, Cayman does believe in life after love, so this is nice. Yeah. Yes. If you could turn back time, though, that's a Cher song.
I got it.
You know, hopefully,
we're just gonna keep doing this.
I hope so. This is a woman's world. Tell the truth.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a well now Kaven's got you, babe. So
there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hopefully I'm certainly against animal abuse in all of its forms. So hopefully any zoo or places out there where animals are being abused are taken care of. That especially the Joe Exotic Animal Wildlife Park, which was pretty bad. So
pretty glad.
Yeah. I did see this thing that there are actually more tigers in Texas than there are in India.
I've heard that, yeah.
Because of people who have tried to adopt tigers in their homes. So hopefully those can get resettled into places that are appropriate for them.
Not your backyard.
Yeah.
Certainly not my backyard. So as far as I know, none of my neighbors have tigers.
But they could.
They could.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's a fun story. My dad, actually, his older sister in the 70s and 80s, I think, was a zookeeper, and things were different and regulations were a little bit more lax back then. I'm not saying this is a Joe Exotic situation at all. I think it was actually very upstanding, but she worked with the big cats. And so when there were new like cubs, she would bring them home for the weekend. So my dad grew up with like tiger and lion cubs and stuff.
That's actually kind of awesome.
For the weekend. Yeah. I've always been super jealous of that.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't? I mean, having tiger cubs just come into the house for the weekends, cuddle, play, and then they go back to the zoo. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If only I knew somebody who worked at the zoo who could bring me those things. Well, if any of our listeners...
You say that as if someone who does work at the zoo is ignoring your request.
Yeah, that sounds like there's some history. It sounds like,
Elise, if only we knew someone who worked at the zoo.
I do, Elise, actually. I do know somebody.
I thought you said you do work at the zoo. No,
I don't. I would love to. But Critter's dog sitter. So my dog's dog sitter works at the zoo.
Okay. Can Critter's dog sitter hook us up with some cuddly lion cubs?
I don't think she can bring them home.
Does she work at the Houston Zoo?
She does, yeah.
Awesome, yeah. Well, that's really fun.
Can she hook us up with a backstage tour?
I can ask her.
Yeah, I would take a backstage tour where I get to pet a lion cub.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't need to be a lion cub, anything, really. Yeah. They have a baby elephant, that's fine.
I'll have some standards. I'll like, I'm not elephant, real yeah. interested in the snakes or the bug situation.
Yeah, I can find those outside. I don't need to do that.
Right?
I don't need a backstage pass.
Yeah, nobody needs that in their life. Yeah.
Why couldn't it be kittens?
Yes. Throwback. All right. There you go. My first feel-good news story. Anybody else have a feel-good news story here?
I think we all have feel good news stories.
That was the homework which we were assigned. That so clearly we all did it ahead of time.
10 seconds ago.
Hey, yes. I've got some great stories, regardless of when I found them. I've got some great
stories. We'll do a few more news stories and we'll go into our fiction here. So anybody have yes.
At least one of us prepared fiction. I feel like Patrick's got a book recommendation.
Too. I've got things ready. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
All right, Elise.
My feel-good news story is more about our shared experience with the pandemic. And I think along with that, we've had a almost universal experience with being on video chat way more than we ever wanted to be.
Like right now, for instance.
Yeah, currently.
Yep. Yes. So, you know, that's blurred a lot of the lines between home and work, personal time, and social time.
Yeah, when your bedroom becomes your dining room becomes your office. That's tough.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. So... along with that, this is today's headline. Viral reporter returns to Good Morning America after hilariously mortifying video appearance with no pants.
Excellent.
Okay.
For a reporter,
Yeah. So it turns out there may be a downside to quarantine, making us all super casual dressers. An ABC reporter went viral after a video call appearance from home on the Good Morning America Tuesday morning, during which he wore a regular dress shirt and button suit jacket on top, but appeared to be lacking a pair of pants underneath.
Sure.
Reporter Will Reeve, the son of late Superman star Christopher Reeve, conferenced into Good Morning America to discuss a story about drones beginning to deliver medication in Florida. Camera framing and digital graphics made it appear as though he was fully dressed in the beginning of the segment. But toward the end, his bare legs began to show on screen.
Uh-oh.
On Wednesday, he returned to the show, using his viral moment as a teaching opportunity.
Oh, good. That's very big of him.
Right.
This is like community service. You have to now teach people how to use Zoom appropriately.
Right. Yeah. He said, "I'm just here in my home, set up for another day of work, like millions of Americans who are on video calls all the time now," Reeves said. "And a headline reminder for anyone who's using Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, anything with a camera, make sure you frame your shot."
I like that the headline isn't "make sure you wear pants."
Right.
It's just make sure you frame your shot.
Keep not wearing pants.
Right. We already assume you're not going to be wearing pants, you know, right. So that's gone. You know, we can't expect that anymore. I will say, I went back into the office work in September, and it was tough going through my closet being like, do any of these pants actually fit me anymore? Because, you know, one, Corona, so eating a lot of Oreos, and two, didn't wear pants, like, jeans at all. It was basketball shorts or sweatpants exclusively for 5 months.
Oh yeah.
And I am here for this needs to come back, right? We're going all back into work. Bring the sweatpants into the office. I think we all can be on board with this. I'm starting a petition here from Beyond Sunday. Sweatpants into the office.
I shake my head vigorously against this. I do not need to see people in their pajamas at work. You can stay at your house and Zoom in, and that's fine. But I don't need to see your pajamas in a public place.
I don't sleep in them. I just, you know, they're casual pants. So.
Easy. I don't. Yeah. We don't. This is a family show.
That's too much information. Yeah. So I can keep going with this if you want to hear more.
It continues. Yeah. What else we got? What other advice?
Is there more? Okay.
Oh, there's more. The ABC reporter introduced a story close to home, how to avoid awkward and embarrassing moments caught on video chat as many people navigating working from home full-time amid coronavirus quarantine. "Yep, that's me," he said, "wearing shorts on Good Morning America. My casual bottom half going viral."
All right, so he was wearing shorts. He just wasn't wearing, like, full-length pants.
I have
skeptical
the picture. Yeah. I believe that these are boxer shorts, and he just is framing them as shorts,
which right? Yeah,
I respect. Mm-hmm. You know, like
no judgment,
right? And I mean,
a little judgment because you're on a national television show without pants, but you know,
you couldn't have put a pair on, some trowel, you know,
something. Doesn't seem like too much to ask.
But look, I have appeared accidentally pantsless on one of my spouse's work calls, work Zooms.
It's fun for you. Yeah.
My level of judgment is low.
Sure. Accidents happen. Things get weird when you're all in the same space.
Yep.
Look, Pastor David, I'm just saying, like, you're wearing a robe on Sunday morning anyway. Have your sweatpants underneath. You're casual. It's fun.
Number one.
Yeah.
You already wear a robe.
It's not a robe.
Yeah.
It's an alb. It looks like a robe.
It's a
That's
dress.
Fine. It's an alb. It's not a robe.
It's a turtleneck dress.
Number two, I would prefer not to be wearing sweatpants underneath, but I'd prefer to be wearing normal clothes.
What's sweatpants are normal clothes. I don't understand the.
I mean, if I'm going to bed, what? They're normal clothes.
Why wouldn't you want to be as comfortable as you could be?
I'm already 100% I'm very comfortable in nice clothes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Fashionista over here.
I know. Mario fashionista is just, you know, I'm comfortable in what I put on clothes that I'm comfortable in. What's wrong with that?
So Patrick and I actually became good friends during coronavirus. We sort of formed like a little quarantine bubble there at the beginning. Yeah. And so I had never seen Patrick in pants other than his basketball shorts.
We've really got to finish that sentence. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. How about
in jeans or slacks? Like
full-length pants.
Every time I saw Patrick, he was wearing basketball shorts. There we go.
For the translation. Yeah. Anyway, so when I came into church one day to drop something off and he was dressed up to do one of his engaged sermons and he was wearing khakis, I said, whoa.
Where are you going?
Very dressed up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you off to, Mr. Monopoly Man?
Yeah, I was literally just a t-shirt and khakis.
I did in quarantine have to record a sermon from home, and I wore a button-down shirt with basketball shorts because it was only the top half was going to be seen. So, you know, I support it. I think it's totally fine. You should not be wearing boxers. Your underwear should not be your only
at on risk
your,
of exposure.
I know.
Yes, that's your bottom half.
That's the level of confidence I don't understand.
Yeah. Who knows? Your cat could knock your computer and shift things. Nobody wants that. But casual bottoms, I'm on board with in not just in Zoom meetings but in life. So I'm with and he's the son of Superman, so I'm with him.
Yeah, so thank you, Mr. Reeve.
Yes. All right, Pastor David, do you have a
is it Reeve or Reeves? I always thought it was Reeves.
That's a Reeve. Interesting. No S, but I don't know. Maybe he dropped the casual S on the end too.
We could Google that, but I'm not going to. I don't really
care. We don't have that kind of time. That's fine. Hey, so I've got a story for us here. This first one that I've got for us is a puppy story because I know you guys like puppies.
Aww.
And so I thought this might make you guys feel good. This is the Golden Labrador Who Keeps On Giving.
Oh.
You ready for this? Stumpy, that's the dog's name, is a handsome Labrador who is destined for a career as a guide dog, but a problem with a deformed leg
wasn't
to be true, right? Deformed leg, and they named the dog Stumpy. It seems a little bit more cruel. But Stumpy found a new way to help others by giving blood. The 9-year-old Labrador has saved more than 100 canine lives since the age of one, so over the last 8 years, by donating blood for emergency transfusions. She has been crowned the United Kingdom's most prolific dog blood owner. Blood donor dog. That's the right way to say it. Blood doning dog.
Okay, but did she consent to giving this blood?
Her owner did.
Dog. So to me, it sounds like she's just getting stuck up with needles all the time.
I don't know. She looks very happy in her picture. So I assume that's a dog anemic. That consents. Yeah. She does not look anemic. She's like, well, flushed out.
Yeah.
I believe in Stumpy here. Stumpy is a giver. She wants to give.
Yes. I like Stumpy as well. And I'm not a big like dog story person. So, you know, it's saying something for me to be impressed by the dog.
So the dog only has three legs and just a little stump?
It just has a deformed leg. It doesn't say that it's only three. In the picture here, it is not clear as to the status. I mean, she has definitely two front legs and I can see one back leg, but the other leg is like hidden from view.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd be able to see it regardless of it. So tough to say.
Okay.
Tough to say. But Stumpy's pretty cute. She's got a good little smile on her face.
I'm a blood donor, so I support the giving of blood.
Are you the most prolific blood donor in the United Kingdom?
I've given no blood to dogs, to my knowledge. So. Yeah.
Well, then take it back to Stumpy, all right?
Yeah. That's fine. I would gladly Stumpy. Stumpy can be ahead of me in the blood donation chain.
I will say, when I first read this, I didn't read all the way to the last sentence, and I was like, they're using dog blood in humans now? Wait.
We're desperate.
They're not. It's dog blood in dogs. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
My in-laws have a three-legged dog. They adopted Keisha, but when they adopted the Keisha was the name that the shelter gave her. So when they got him, I tried to convince them to think of some new names more appropriate for a three-legged dog. So I said Legolas was one of them that I suggested, or Yardstick.
Sure.
It's three feet. Or you know, tripod. You know, so those are the
classic.
Yeah. The ones that I suggested, but they stuck with Keisha. And, you know, she's a sweet dog.
Not as funny, but I'm sure an adorable dog.
But if any listeners do adopt a three-legged dog, feel free to use one of my name suggestions.
There you go. I've got another story for us. So that one was for you guys. This one's for me. because this one makes me feel good. That one was for the puppy lovers out there to feel good about it. All right. So this David is
does not care about animals.
That's not what makes
Pastor,
me feel good.
Pastor fine. David Bowser hates dogs.
That's not what I said. It just doesn't make me feel good. That's fine. All right. So in front of Barcelona's Arc de Triomphe, 26-year-old Ballester, sets up a 2 foldaway chairs and a sign in a large letters that read "Free Conversations." This all started pre-COVID. Let's just all be clear on that. So pre-COVID, a sign says "Free Conversations." Anyone is welcome to stop, sit, and chat with him in Spanish, English, or Catalan. About anything they like. And the idea is just to talk freely for a while, the 26-year-old explained. We have lost the art of conversation. And I personally love this idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to steal it and use it as my own and find some way to do something like this in post-corona times. He's also set up in the COVID life, he's set up a Facebook and a website. Here it is, randompenpals.com is his website. So you can now get a random pen pal in 10 seconds or less so that you can tell stories. And his whole point is that I'm just here to let you tell your story, whatever story you want to tell me. It can be sad, happy. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to listen to your story. And I think that's really beautiful.
It is. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I 100% fully support you doing that, Pastor David. That sounds like torture for me.
I know. So, the introvert.
To sit and listen to other people's stories?
Yeah. The introvert talking to a stranger. Oh.
But that's the thing. You don't have to talk. You just have to listen. It's like the perfect introverted activity.
He's a free conversation.
You just sit there and you're just like, let me hear it. What do you got?
A free conversation is not a listening. You know, it's got to be active. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't just like be reading a book while they're talking. You got to be like, you know, engaged in the process.
Yeah. Well, they just talk and they're like, well, see ya. Like.
That story was for me. You guys got the dogs, all right? You got Stumpy, and I got.
I'm not against. I think it's beautiful. I think it's important. I think it's powerful. It's just I could not do that. That sounds tough. Again, introvert here, so that would drain me quickly to be forced to do that. One more real story here for us. Florida man. Usually, when we talk about Florida,
a good story about Florida man.
It's not great. Yeah, Florida man. Pays 114 households utility bills that are about to be disconnected.
Aww.
Yes.
Thanks, Florida dude. I think this should be Florida dude instead of Florida man.
Yes. So
we don't want to sully the good name of Florida man.
That's
everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oliver Esmond here. I think that's his name here. He says the year has probably been more meaningful than last year with the pandemic and all the people out of work having to stay home. Hurricane Sally slammed us pretty good and hurt a lot of people. We still have a lot of blue roofs over here where they're just covered in tarps. Mm-hmm. And he said that a lot of these bills were under $100. So these were people who really could not make a small payment to keep their power on. So he was happy to do that. And his business said we did really well over the pandemic. And he felt bad that a lot of people out there did not. And so he wanted to share what he had with the people who need it.
Our business was selling PPE. So we're doing okay.
I'm not sure what business he's. He's a owner of Gulf Breeze Pools and Spas. So I'm not sure what.
A lot of like home improvement going on right now.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, people are home during COVID times.
Yeah, people are home. And they're like, well, we have this pool that we don't really use, but now we're home all the time. Might as well get.
Or we've got this backyard that we don't really use. Might as well put in a pool.
Yeah.
But I think this is a powerful thing, a reminder that that our neighbors can be hurting and struggling, and that we as Christians have an obligation and duty to seek out ways to help those around us. And I think this is a powerful way to do that, finding a tangible way of saying like, I need it in front of me and I can help out with that. So
I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast, but maybe we have, but there's been a movement amongst churches to raise funds to pay off medical debt recently, which I think is really beautiful and powerful to find people who are like buried in medical debt and help pay that off for them. Because there are like organizations that let you pay off medical debt at like a fraction of the cost. So you can pay off like millions of dollars of debt with just thousands of dollars. When I don't know. I don't know how money works, but that's what it does.
Sure. Yeah. I think that is the way that works. That people who are drowning in debt, the hospitals or their debt collectors will just kind of sell the debt to a collection agency.
Right.
And they're willing to just like get anything they can for it. So they'll sell, $1,000 of debt for, $50 just to get some money back. And so people can buy that up and just free them from those financial obligations. And I think that can be a really beautiful fundraising thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So I think that's what it is. So those are our true stories. Now we want to maybe go to fiction stories here. Any fictional books, TV shows, movies out there that might make somebody feel good to check out during this pandemic? Just
make you feel good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anybody want to go first?
Elisa's ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Yeah. So okay. I think a lot of us have been going back to like familiar favorites. I think because it's just like a comforting thing, right? It's like comfort food. I know a lot of people have rewatched Friends for the 40th time. During coronavirus. So for me, I went back to the book that I read as like a 10-year-old that got me interested in reading, specifically science fiction and fantasy. It's called The Blue Sword by Robin McKinley, who was a giant in fantasy in the 80s and 90s. It has, I think, everything that you could want in a feel-good fantasy. It's got, of course, magic. It's got giant cats. It's got giant dogs. It's got overly sentient horses. It's got swords that do things that normal swords don't. It's got a love story. It deals with themes of colonialism and identity. And it's really beautiful.
This is intense.
Yeah, highly recommend.
As a 10-year-old, that's a lot to take in.
Right. Well, I mean, it turned me into a writer eventually. So
there you go. Yeah.
Okay. So the Blue Sword
by Robin McKinley.
Great. And so this would be, you read this when you were 10. So it's more of like a young teen lit or appropriate for teens?
Yeah, definitely appropriate for teens. It was a Newbery Award winner. And there's also a prequel called The Hero and the Crown, which I think is actually more well known. It's about a female dragon slayer. Nice. But my favorite is The Blue Sword. And so, I mean, I think it's adults would enjoy it and get plenty out of it, but it also would be appropriate for your kids.
There you go.
I will add that to my library wish list here in a second to try to get from the library. All right, The Blue Sword. Pastor David, do you have a feel-good TV show or movie?
I have two things here for us. The first, I have really picked, I mean, not just in Corona times, but particularly during Corona times, having time to read with my daughter has been really, really feel good and powerful and just good times. So I just encourage people, whatever child you have in your life, whether it's a grandchild, niece, nephew, whatever, find a way to just read with them. And you know, you can do it on Zoom calls, you can do it on FaceTime, wear pants when you do, right? I mean, all the normal things, but you know, there's a lot of great stuff that you can do out there just reading together, whether that's The Blue Sword or whatever else you might want to read. But I found that to be very grounding and centering as a nightly practice for us. Because of how we're doing meetings and stuff like that, I'm actually home for bedtime a lot more than I normally would have been during this time. So I've gotten to be a part of that, which has been very, very good. The other one, again, this one is selfishly for me. So that's like the real thing. And this is what I actually feel good with. There was a show on Food Network a while back that's not running anymore, but you can still find it on Hulu. You can find old episodes, and it's called Cutthroat Kitchen.
Ooh,
I do like Cutthroat Kitchen.
Cutthroat Kitchen is amazing because it like lets you get out all of the vindictive parts of you that I just want to watch other competitors on a show just like destroy themselves and you succeed, and it's great. The whole premise is that you get to bid on things that make it harder for your competitors in the same round, so you get to like spend some of your money, but then you only get to keep the money that you haven't bid on the items if you win. So I love Cutthroat Kitchen, and it gets out a lot of like the, you know how we're supposed to like love our enemies and stuff like that? It gets out a lot of the parts of me that don't want to do that. So that when I'm like faced with an actual enemy, I'm like, okay, I watched Cutthroat Kitchen. Now I can love this person the way I'm supposed to. So yeah, it's a healthy out for all of that stuff.
Love it.
Yeah, that sounds great. So Cutthroat Kitchen is awesome. I love it. I'm not a very good chef here. But I would love to compete on it because it's mostly about like being creative and how to use these things to the best of your ability. So and they really cook fairly simple stuff. I mean, they're not really cooking a huge, you know.
Yeah, but they'll make you like make an omelet, and they'll give you like a pan that's all like bent up and like twisted. And they're like, cook on this bent up twisted pan now and make an omelet.
Or on an iron, and you have to just figure it out. Yeah. So I think that's really fun. I think that it is, kind of that both parts is competition and a lot of creativity attached to that. So I also have a show on Netflix that I would recommend that my wife and I watched, a reality program called Love on the Spectrum. So this is from England, and it follows several young adult people on the autism spectrum as they are entering the dating world and trying to find love. And I think it's a really neat show because it kind of reminds us that, like, even though we would maybe look at some of these people with a disability, they have the same desires that people who are not on the autism spectrum would have. The desire to be known, the desire to be loved, the desire to love. And they are figuring it out with the knowledge that how they process information in this world is not the exact same as everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so how did they, you will get to see people, you know, how do they go on a first date and have conversations? Or how do you ask a girl out? And how do you have, you know, do these types of things that can be intimidating for us, but for maybe somebody on the autism spectrum can be very intimidating because they have no contextual points to draw from. So I think it's a really powerful show. It's a really neat show. You know, they're young adults, so I'm not saying it's necessarily super appropriate for like 5-year-olds or 8-year-olds, mm-hmm. but you know, but I think for teens and up, like, I think it would be it's kind of a neat show. Seeing these people on the spectrum wrestle with that. Plus there's one young man on there named Michael who is kind of the star, in my opinion. He's great. He's really funny. He is very concerned about looking for love and says he doesn't really want a beautiful girl because she's too beautiful. He wants a 50-50 girl. So.
Aww. Yeah, Michael, you should do well, bud.
Yeah. And, you know, not everybody at the course of the show will find love. We can say that, you know, like, and that's just the reality of life too. But I believe that there will be a second season. So some of these people might be coming back and to go on some new dates. But, you know, the awkwardness of like, how do we split this check or do we, you know, kind of amplified between two people who have maybe struggling to communicate their thoughts and ideas. So
yeah,
I think it's a really neat show. I do think it's powerful and it makes me, you know, it's really sweet to watch these people put themselves out there in a very vulnerable way. So Love on the Spectrum.
Cute. All right, nice. I like it.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of our show and the end of 2020 for Beyond Sunday. Yes, we'll be back in 2021. We're continuing on.
Brand new episode coming at you fresh in the new year.
Yeah, so Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, you've got 8 left. 7 yes. left, 8 yeah,
hold
left.
On, Patrick just acknowledged that the 12 days of Christmas are a thing.
I know, right? Yeah.
I don't think, I agree that they're a thing. I just think they're dumb. So,
they're dumb. I think Patrick just thinks that Christmas, thousands of years of church tradition is dumb. That's all.
Christmas is over.
Or at least hundreds of years of church tradition. Yeah, Christmas is over, so we don't have to care about Jesus anymore. That's what Patrick just said.
That's what
he said.
Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we keep going, so...
Yeah, so every day should be Christmas. The 365 days of Christmas.
Mini Christmas every day. All right.
Well, if you liked what you heard today or any day, we would love for you to share out your favorite parts of your year in 2020. You can comment on our Facebook post with that information. Or, of course, you can send us an email, beyondsundaypodcast.com, and give the gift of a great podcast to your neighbors by recommending Beyond Sunday and let them know, hey, we're here for them too in 2020. And in 2021, because much like Jesus, we are the same today, yesterday, and always. And wait, no, that might not be right. But we would love you. No, I just said much like Jesus. I didn't say we are Jesus. Anyway, have a great afternoon. Happy New Year. And we will see you in 2021.
Yes. Hopefully 2021 is a little bit better to us than 2020 was.
Speak for yourself, man. I got a Labrador that gives blood. I'm all set.
The Labrador does, you don't have a Labrador. So it just is a Labrador.
You read a story about a Labrador.
Yeah, and then I went out and got the dog.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.